the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, the prelim edition, Kingy. If you're not excited now, you'll never get excited.
No, that's very true, Ben. You need to be up and about.
Is that the expression, is it?
Oh, some sort of cliche.
Well, you know, most cliches, mm-hmm. even though they are cliches, are true.
I avoid cliches like the plague, Ben.
Yes. I've told you a million times to stop exaggerating.
Yes.
Look, Kingy, it's exciting for Cat fans. And one and all to be heading into a prelim as a warmish favourite.
Warmish, yes.
Albeit I think Hawthorn are making some Cat fans, or all Cat fans, a little bit Bruce Nankervis. But my take, Kingy, a very quick take, is that the Cats best will win. Can they produce the question?
Yeah, will Hawthorn let them play at their best is probably unlikely.
And the prelim traditionally across football has been the most difficult final.
Oh, here's another cliche.
Yes. It's always been, I mean, you think back to the Cats have struggled in prelims. A lot of the grand finalists have struggled to win the premiers have struggled to win the prelim for whatever reason. You know, I think getting there, the mindset of getting there, getting to the grand final I'm talking about, can sometimes do weird things. Geelong have the pressure of, and we spoke about it, of anything but a premiership now would be a disappointment, I would have thought. So that's an added layer of mental pressure. Now, Geelong are experienced. Can they handle that? You'd hope so. But it is another layer. Hawthorn, to a degree, and I hate that, you know, the cliche, I've got nothing to lose.
Yes, they do. They've got a spot in the grand final.
100%. But they, in some ways, they don't have the expectation of going on and winning a premiership this year. They'd love to do it, and they can do it, but they don't have that expectation. Geelong do.
Yep.
So there's just a slight difference there in terms of the groups, in terms of their mindset. But Geelong produced what they did against Brisbane. Would you think they'd be winning?
Yes.
Yep.
But they probably have to produce that.
I agree.
And they have to, and I know this is a cliche too, they have to start well. You don't want to be playing from behind against the Hawks at the MCG.
No, you don't. What's the weather forecast, Kingy?
We've got some showers through the day. Don't know whether they'll still be going at night. So it'll be contested Friday night.
If it was a bit slippery, do you think that would hurt the Hawks a little bit, given that they are quite a skillful team?
Maybe, yeah. And Geelong really like to crack in.
The other thing, though, is that Hawthorn do not really have a tall forward line. They have Marby or Chole, and that is it. Kel Shadir is not playing. So they don't have Mitch Lewis.
Yeah, I was going to say Mitch Lewis got subbed off.
He's like seriously out of form, Mitch Lewis.
He had four disposals before he got yanked on Friday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever been yanked after four disposals?
I was lucky to get four disposals, Benny.
I think that's how I'm lucky to get yanked.
Boom, boom.
Nice one, Moz. There was this guy.
Dear.
No, I agree. What are you thinking? What are you hearing about Reece Stanley?
That he is very close to playing.
Yes. Someone texted me last night. Completely out of the blue.
Yep.
And they have nothing to do with the footy club.
But know something.
Well, they do. And it's unusual for them to be texting.
Yeah.
Some people are serial.
Do you get random? I get random calls from people at this time of the year. Like people you don't hear from for 12 months. But all of a sudden want to talk footy or text footy.
No.
No.
Who have you heard from?
Oh, well, I won't name people's names, but yeah.
Just randoms.
Yeah.
Just you would classify as randoms.
Randoms, yeah. The people I would normally not converse with.
Right.
Yeah.
The unwashed.
Yeah. A little bit.
Well, no, I don't get those, Kingy.
No?
No. I do get...
Well, you've got this one.
Well, no, this is a friend.
Oh.
This is a friend, a close friend.
Yeah.
But doesn't have any... He's not in a serial. He's not a serial, I think this is happening this week and I've heard this and he doesn't do any of that.
Yeah, he... Yep.
He texts me to say that Reece Stanley had a fitness test yesterday and that is very much in the mix to play. Do you think... That it is, we've spoken about this, but probably crucial isn't the word, but
I think he has to
advantageous
play.
Against Meek to have
him and Blitzarves going against Meek.
Yep.
Yep. So just to have that and De Koning to be back behind the footy.
Who are you playing on Chole? I know he's no superstar, but who are you playing on Cholbert to lock him down?
Jack Henry.
Who are you then playing on Gunston?
O'Connor.
Yes. I thought the same. Now, the other big one, Kingy, is Mullen. Now, Newcombe. So who plays on Watson then?
I think you've just got to back that you've got your Guthries and Stewarts of the world being defensive enough.
Mm. I fear that if O'Connor, I hope they don't send O'Connor to Watson. He doesn't have the leg speed.
I think he's got to go to Gunston.
I agree. And just play like the Rayner type.
Yep.
Absolute lock on sort of.
Yep.
Shane Hurd. Yeah. Jumping up,
Shane Hurd.
Jumping up out of a suitcase and tagging someone sort of role.
Hadn't been seen for 3 years, Shane Hurd, and found himself back at Essendon.
Yes, and was...
I don't think he was even playing at Caniva or Dimboola or wherever he was from.
He was a tagging extraordinaire.
He was.
So
He stuck like your old-fashioned, you know what, on a blanket.
The old Narn. Narn on a blanket.
He was like Narn on a blanket.
Yeah, right. Well, that's... Yeah, and that's if you're doing the tagging role, that's how you want to be, King. Yep. Ryan Crowley sort of arrangement.
Yeah, I think Mullen's got to go to Newcombe.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just wonder whether Newcombe's a bit of a bull.
Tell you who sort of bobbed up. He's not an under-the-radar player. Josh Ward had 31 disposals.
Yeah, he's underrated. Good player. Yep. Outside sort of player, though.
Yep.
Probably relies on Newcombe and the like to get it out to him.
Yep.
I agree. I just wonder, do you think Mullen has the size to play on Newcombe? He plays a different role to McCluggage.
So Newcombe, 186 and 85.
Yeah, he's a bit of a bull, though. He plays a bit bigger than that, I reckon. McCluggage is probably about the same. But I reckon Newcombe plays more of your inside game than McCluggage.
Yep.
So he's more of... I think he is going to be more difficult to stop than McCluggage.
Hmm.
Now, what's Mullen?
Let me have a look.
Height-wise. He's probably taller than you think, but he's probably 184, is he?
Let me have a look. I've got to find him.
I'll guess 184 85.
The only game he didn't play this year...
Was against Hawthorn. How many did Newcombe have?
Newcombe that afternoon had 28, of which 21 were handballs.
Yeah. That's why I think he's more difficult to stop. I think it's a bit of a folly to the Cat fans to think that Mullen is just going to turn up and do a number on Newcombe like he did McCluggage. Now, I'm not saying he can't limit his influence, but he's going to be a more difficult person to stop. So how tall is Mullen?
Hang on, I'm just having a look at that, Benny.
Are you still? I can see the rat wheel going over there.
Hello, yellow sort of arrangement. He's 182, so he's giving up.
And 182, and what you know, at that list, he's weight. What is he?
I would have to go to AFL tables to see what he, and that would only be what he was at when they were doing.
He'd be 80.
He's
85.
So it's only a kilo lighter, so it's not.
And
a kilo
if he moved his bowels, he might be a kilo and a kilo and a half lighter.
Yeah, correct.
Do you think? So anyway, I did think that seems the obvious one. I just worry that Watson has leg speed that we don't have. So, and he's a smart player, Watson. Now, he's a sort of player that doesn't need to touch the ball a lot to influence the flow and the momentum of a game. So I'd hate for him to be getting off the chain.
Okay, so here's one for you.
Yes.
Is Busey playing on Friday night?
Out Jai Clark.
Yep.
And then who would be your sub?
Bozal Martin.
I don't mind that, Kingy. Do you think that the Cats will do that?
I wouldn't rule it out. I think Buse would be to go to a Ginnivan or a Watson.
Yeah,
Buse would have to be in their reckoning.
Yeah, I agree. So then, if Clark comes out,
yep, I think
the problem then is that who do your defence? You end up with too many defenders. Which we've done before in finals, and it's gone pear shaped for us because you can't. It's all good to say bring these blokes in, but then it's the balance of the team. So you end up with too many blokes who play in the back half.
True.
So
somebody may have to shuffle up the ground a little bit.
Who would be shuffling? You're not going to shuffle Stewart. You're not going to shuffle Guthrie. You're not going to shuffle Humphreys. You're not shuffling.
Well, Humphreys you can play off a wing.
Possibly, but you're going to move. You got Dempsey on one wing.
Or does Humphreys become your sub?
God no. Do you think he could be the sub?
He hasn't been in the greatest nick.
Oh, I'd like to have Humphreys out there. I just think he's
the the composure.
Well, yeah, he doesn't make mistakes generally, and he also can open up the opposition with his kicking. And he's so unpredictable, going to be able to go left or right. I think he's the sort of bloke that if he has a 15-18 possessions, you could factor in they might get two or three goals in chains that are started by him because of his ability to like you say, have the composure and then find a target that actually opens the game up. I don't think I'd be wanting him out.
So he had 24 disposals against Port Adelaide in round 22 after having 8 as the sub against North Melbourne the week before.
Which they were just resting.
That was a management, management thing. Yep. But he's had 11, 12, 10 and 13 since. Like they're not jumping off the page at me.
No, I just think I'd be reticent to have him as my sub. I'd rather have a Bose as a sub.
Yeah, Bose or Martin. I think Bose is the ideal sub.
He can play a bit of anywhere.
Correct.
Yeah, Martin's got that capacity to maybe make something happen too.
Well, Martin's one too that if he doesn't get his hands on the footy, he can go, well, have a spell. And Bose comes in.
Look, it's interesting. The Bews talk is interesting. I just my fear is Watson.
Yeah. Well, that's where
he's only a second year player,
which
isn't he,
is
Watson?
Yes. But Bews experience, you know. For Watson, a prelim final, big occasion, you know, put an experienced head like Busey on him, Busey's probably got 15 finals under his belt.
Yeah. I think it's a good call. I just don't know whether the Cats would be pulling the trigger on that.
I'm not saying they are, but I'm just saying that is... I'd be shocked if that wasn't being considered.
We didn't send any great tag to Cameron.
No.
Now, I know he's been out of form,
but
we went with just... Mullen tagging in the midfield and O'Connor as a rainer.
But Watson is in form.
That's right, as
opposed to Cameron.
But we weren't.
Yeah.
We weren't getting Busey back to play on Cameron, which would have been an obvious matchup.
But we did discuss that maybe John could get away with it because Cameron hasn't been in great form.
Yeah, this is a different kettle of fish because he's really exciting, Watson, unfortunately. And I think he's built for the... For the big stage, I don't think that's going to worry him whatsoever. And if he catches five, if he gets it 12 times, he can kick you 4 or 5 goals.
Yeah,
set up a couple.
Yeah, and that's what he did on Friday, especially early. He got involved. Yep. And hands on the footy. I went back and watched that first quarter.
Adelaide were putrid.
Yeah, the fact they actually got back to, I think they leveled the score, didn't they?
I think they did. They dominated. I didn't actually see all that game, Kingy. I was out.
Yeah.
Doing some refreshing.
Yeah, I was Brahms and Liszt.
Well, I wasn't Brahms and Liszt, but I was on my way. And then, anyway, I did watch, the biggest block of the game I watched was probably the first 15 minutes of the second quarter.
Yep.
And Adelaide dominated.
Yeah.
They just couldn't score.
Kick four behinds.
They didn't look like scoring. The start, you mentioned the start there, Hawthorn jumped GWS as well, albeit in the first 15 minutes of that game, I watched that game, GWS absolutely dominated. The entire first 15 minutes of that game was played in GWS's half, and they could not score. And then at the other end, Hawthorn suddenly kicked 4 goals in really short time just to break the game open. And that was an unbelievable game. They were 7 goals up, Hawthorn. It got back to level. I think GWS actually got in front.
Yeah, by a point, I think.
And then lost. But I just think Geelong, can they produce or replicate the Brisbane game? Can they replicate the pressure? Can they replicate the spread of goal kickers? Now, they're probably not going to get 13, but can they get 10? Can they have varying options up forward? Can the players who are in form stay in form?
Because Barras will go to Cameron.
I would have thought Battle to Cameron.
And Barras goes
to Neil. They're the obvious matchups. Yeah. They're a little bit like Brisbane, Hawthorn. They don't have the same depth in the midfield, particularly without Day. But their two biggest weapons can be Impian and...
Carl Amon.
Carl Amon. Now, I reckon both of them, particularly Amon, played well against the Cats.
Yep.
Their ability to run, carry... execute kicks, bring others into the game. Are we putting it close to an Amon?
I would have thought.
Yeah. Yep,
just a little, not a tag, but just a little make sure.
Well, you can't have those blokes having 15 rebound 50s between them.
Yeah.
Because they'll set up goals from them.
Correct. They'll catch up through the middle. And where Geelong's been hurt this year has been that transition back when they've turned it over, yep. shallow entry,
yep.
and it's gone straight back through the middle. And the MCG being wider is harder to defend.
Yes, that's one of their great weapons, Hawthorn, is their skill overall, but there's those players off half back. And the other one who, he doesn't have quite the run, but he's a very good intercept mark and he gets the ball moving quickly, Scrimshaw.
Yeah,
yep. He's good. Weddle comes in now as an option off in defence or up forward.
He spent more time up forward against Adelaide.
He did. He did. I just dropped me lollies, King.
You better pick him up, Benny. Like, you've got to remember, too, Hawthorn are a 15-8 team in the home and away season. In most years, 15-8 gets you top four. Ben's gone under the desk. Hopefully not Commandant Lassard style.
Well, hopefully like that. Hopefully I'm not the one.
Hey, whoa. But they're been a 15-8 team when in most years that would get you, at worst, a home elimination final.
Were they percentage or a game off top four?
No, they were a game. They had better percentage than fourth from memory. Yeah, they did. No, they were a couple of game in 2%. Well, percent right, and
so
half.
There's not much in it, really.
No,
there?
There's not. No, there's three-fifths of stuff all.
You better say something else then, were you?
Yeah, I was. What? I kept myself tidy. Remembered where I was.
You did. Look, it's exciting, Kingy. If Stanley comes back, it allows Blitzarf to play more as a midfielder.
I suppose the thing is, if Stanley comes back, Buse may not play because then they're dropping Clark's the obvious one that's in trouble in terms of being last on, first off.
Yep.
If they won't bring Buse back for, then somebody's been dropped.
Yeah.
That doesn't probably deserve to
be. Are you surprised that Stanley's in the mix?
No.
It seemed a bit doom and gloom after when we spoke to Stephen King. He wasn't, that was prior to the Brisbane game. Yeah. He wasn't alluding to the fact that it was going to be short term injury.
It'll be 18 days since he did it by Friday night.
Right.
So short of the 21 days that they talk about as being the sort of the stock standard hamstring.
Yep.
I don't think it was as bad as they initially thought it could have been.
And we talked about it with Reg Tuohy in the box before the game, and Stephen King didn't sound overly optimistic, Melbourne coach.
It did, but apparently from last week to this week, so he was still listed as 1-3 in the medical report last week.
Yep.
To a test. Now, look, obviously being one, you can come back to a test, but they were still looking at potentially season over as well.
Yeah. Well, it's good that he's in the mix to come back, and obviously
you play him.
From what we're hearing, if he's 100%, if you're confident he's 100%, yeah, I think you're probably right.
There's obviously been some stuff off the field that hasn't been very savoury at the Cats. The Bailey Smith stuff.
Coach stuff.
Yeah. So, firstly on Bailey, Bailey cocked up. It's as simple as that. He completely stuffed up. He didn't. He's apologised, but the fact that he went text message
is poor.
It's
a reflection on. That's a poor reflection.
Yep.
Off the back of his.
Yeah. So look, these have been dealt with, and we don't want to mull on them. The Chris Scott one. What's happened there, is not a great look. What I'm hearing back though is that. I think this may be not overplayed, but there's a little bit of. I think there's a bit more to it than that's actually been. That's out there.
We need to hear it.
Yeah, but what it actually is, I don't know what it is. And look, the Cats want to move on.
I just find it ironic that you've just won a qualifying final, your team's played the best game it's played for the year, and your focus is on. An AFL staffer and a journalist who have had absolutely who are inconsequential in anything you're doing.
Mm.
I don't understand where your focus can be so skew-if. And if you're reducing someone to tears for doing their job, you might be right. Maybe we don't know the whole story. The other thing that I find a little bit odd is that it took 5 days to apologise.
Mm.
Does that suggest to me that you've been pushed to apologise?
Or that they've... I don't know, has it been had to be investigated for want of a better term?
Well, I think it did take a phone call from Greg Swan to say you need to apologise here.
That I don't know.
It just 5 days seems a long time, long lag time. If you've made a mistake, to apologise. If he wasn't going to apologise, then don't. But if he has apologised, it's taken 5 days. It seems far too long for me. And I mean, the Bailey Smith stuff. You just. I mean, Patrick Dangerfield said, oh, he didn't get it totally right. Come on.
He got it completely wrong.
He absolutely cocked it up. And what infuriates you is that he wants the limelight. He's happy to go and go to the Gold Coast with some Botox bozo who's got, you know, a zillion followers. Imagine the brain cells that they'd have between them. And he's happy to get photographed with all that, but he's at training, at an open training session where media are allowed, and he's verbally castigating somebody who's 15 rows in the stands for doing their job.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, that's just mind-boggling how you... I mean, if you were getting a knife out of the drawer to cut up your Wagyu and you wanted the sharp one, you're not getting Bailey Smith out. He's just, let's be honest, he's if his brains were dynamite, I'm not sure his head would move too far off his shoulders. And that shows.
But the other thing is too, he's obviously, he's wired differently. And he's a dickhead.
He's a dickhead. And he's a known dickhead, and he's a serial dickhead.
But that there's a bit of that because of the way he's wired.
Possibly, but he...
There are people that sometimes you just actually can't control some of the stuff you do.
Nah.
There are people like that, Benny.
Who? It's Bailey Smith. You've got to be...
You know what I mean. You know exactly what I mean.
But not... I understand if something happened or it was sort of heat of the moment. It wasn't heat of the moment. She was just standing there. There was nothing heat of the moment about it.
And sorry, can I just say, and you say she, it's Alison Wynne, who, and, you know, full disclosure here, Alison was my wedding photographer. Yeah. I've known Alison for a long time. She took the first photo of my eldest child.
Yeah.
First family photo. No, 3 days old or whatever it was. So, yes, okay, put my hand up and say, friend. But even if she wasn't, I'd be
going, it shouldn't be happening.
It's just, no. It, 25 years, you know, in Geelong, photographing the club, respected by all and sundry, and Johnny come lately to town, mate.
And the,
Betcha was Michael Klein from, or it was Michael Wilson, so Michael Klein, News Corp photographer, Michael Wilson, AFL Photos, he wouldn't have.
No. I just, your team's in a final series. Why are you going out of your way to be a buffoon?
Yeah.
Is just beyond me. And, I mean, he's 24. He's not 16.
No.
Like, get it. I mean.
So I'm looking.
And then to have, you know, him text message to apologise, he's like, please. Yep. What is he, Snapchat next? Like,
are you on Snapchat?
Mate, no. I don't do anything. I don't do anything. I'm on
WhatsApp.
I'm on WhatsApp. Yeah, WhatsApp. I have to be for work.
Yeah,
but I'm not on. I don't do Facebook, and I don't.
Are you a WhatsApp friend with Tom Lonergan?
He'd be on there because if he's a contact, he's a WhatsApp.
Yeah, right.
You can get onto him.
Yeah, right.
I've sent some stuff through to him at various times.
What? He sent stuff to you, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has at times. Yeah, not so much since he's been at Carlton, I think, because he just doesn't want anything found on his phone that may be incriminating.
So, can we move on from that?
It's been a really. It's soured it as a Geelong supporter a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, let's hope we play well, but people who don't like Geelong dislike us even more now, which it's inconsequential. But as a Geelong supporter, I just think the club that you follow, you would like to represent itself a little bit better than it has. Yeah. And when you've got three senior players going to press conferences, being asked about the behaviour of a coach and a senior player, senior star player, and quoting, you know, the cult is the culture of this group, all right, that shouldn't be happening.
No.
That's a distraction nobody needs, and it's set off by the coach, and it's set off by Bailey Smith.
Andrew Dillon's joining us in the pregame on Friday night, the AFL CEO. Should we be asking him if the AFL should have stepped in and sanctioned in some way, shape or form?
Well, I would have thought. I mean, you can get... So you can flip the bird at somebody completely unknown who's abusing you probably and get $1,000.
Yep.
You can – a homophobic slur gets you suspended.
Yep.
You can get $20,000 for antagonising a player on the ground.
Kenny Hinkley.
But you can verbally abuse somebody doing their job and nothing happens.
Mm.
How do you defend that?
Yep. That'll be a fun conversation with Mr. Dillon.
I'm sure he'd be happy when he's...
he rolls. We've taken 3 years to get him on K-Rock. It might be another 3
to Is he doing the rounds?
No, just doing us.
Really?
Yeah, I believe. Yep.
Right.
So we're going to air at 5:45 on Friday night.
Oh, Kenny, this could be like could be up in lights, Kingy. You'll be frothing, Kingy.
I won't be frothing.
Huh?
Oh, no, you've got the hard questions.
What, like what?
I'll bowl the half
volleys. No, I won't be asking you. We'll just give him a couple of line lengths on Kingy, and then we'll hit him right between the eyes with a sort of a knuckle sandwich.
Do you want some questions, Benny?
I love questions.
You do love questions. Now, off the KFCX. Not a huge amount, and we apologise to those who might have been on the X that thought we were recording Thursday. Benny's actually not available tomorrow, so we've pulled it for today, and as a result, we might be short on questions. But the good thing is we'll be back, fingers crossed, next week to either wrap up the season or we'll be looking at the grand final. Mick Howley, is it true Loch Ness has put his hand up for the 100-metre sprint on grand final day? I'm all seriousness. Strap your helmets on. Cats bring the pressure and hopefully a strides down arrangement come full time.
Well, let's hope so. Yeah. 100%. Loch Ness will not be doing any sprints.
No.
He will not be doing anything in an upright position for quite some time.
No. Marky Mark, Casanilli's number one season fan. Now that Geelong smashed Brisbane, can I wear my whiteout T-shirt from round 15?
Yes.
You can do that.
What's this one, Kingy?
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
What a ripper Friday night is going to be, Kingy. Have you heard the whisper about Nigel Lappin and Tasmania?
No, I haven't heard that one.
No.
Nigel going down there as a what?
Development. Head of development, you would have thought. Because that's what he's been very good at Geelong.
Offering him. Geez, that'd be a big loss for the Cats. Big loss.
How are your nerves for Friday? I'm pumped. Just need to bring the pressure from the last game. Play four quarters of football.
Yes, correct. Tick.
Randy Mazda. Lloyd Meek and Newcomb hurt us last time. Stanley struggled last time, so hopefully he's 100% if we bring him back. Mullen to tag on Newcomb with team to assist. Henry straight to Gunston is a suggestion.
Well, that's the thing that I was going to mention before about a defence king is that there are options. I think there's we're not locked in. You sort of think, oh, God, if this guy gets off the chain. You have Connor O'Sullivan. Now, he might be your first choice on Jack Gunston, but he has a good reach. Gunston's very good in the air. Perhaps doesn't have the savvy at this stage. So, but you've got Henry. You've got De Koning. You've got O'Connor. You've got Stewart. You've got Guthrie. What's Gunston, 191? 190? He's not.
No, he's your Jack Darling. So
there are plenty of options there for the Cats, but I do agree, given the form he's in, I reckon Henry goes to Chole, or De Koning goes to Chole.
Actually, Gunston's 193. That's 6'4 in the old.
Yeah, so Henry'd be 191. Stewart's 190.
Yep.
Zach Guthrie'd be 188.
Yep.
So you've got options. If I'm listing them, I think you're right. I think O'Connor goes to Gunston and just plays a complete shutdown role. I reckon it's a toss-up. Do you put – what's Marby or Chole?
In terms of height.
Does Henry or De Koning go to Chole?
Chole is 200.
Yeah, well, so you've got to go De Koning, I would have thought.
So Jack Henry then to Lewis?
Yes.
Yep.
And hope that then you Jack Henry can then maybe become a little bit more of an intercept-type player. Yeah. And you've got Stewart and Zach Guthrie also being intercept players. It's just the one who plays on Watson is going to be interesting.
You forget how good a year Charles actually had.
He's kicked a lot of goals.
41.
Yeah.
It's as good a year as he's had than the first year he had on the Gold Coast when he was outstanding.
Yeah. He's good. But if you're shutting down Lewis, Chole becomes their only sort of tall target.
Yep.
So you hope the Cats have got it. And look, it's all
they
want,
but they don't mind it on the ground, though.
No, they don't.
No, they only want Chole and Lewis to compete.
Yep.
So that Ginnivan, Watson,
Dylan Moore.
Yep.
Yep.
Weddle, even though he's a bit taller, but he still can do some work at
ground. Anyway, it's going to be interesting. The matchups, getting them right, and then at the other end, Kingy, who are they looking at to play on? So he's had battle on Cameron.
Yeah, Barras to
Barras on Neil.
Yep.
Who goes to Stengel? Who goes to Manu when he's forward? Who goes to Close?
Well, Sicily's got to go to somebody.
Jack Martin. See, Sicily, Amon and Impey are a very dangerous combination in defence. Very dangerous. Sicily marks it well. Amon and Impey run it out well.
Yep.
Both quick. It's going to be – Geelong are going to need to be on defensively, particularly those three or four, you know, your Close, Stengel, Manor.
Impey only had two.
Myers, they're going to have to be on in terms of their pressure.
Impey only had 11 disposals against Adelaide.
Yeah, he's good though.
He is. Amon had 17, Sicily had 21. He was the better. He was their leading rebounder with 5.
Yep. It's just that if on the wide open expanses of the MCG, they can do damage if allow them to.
Absolutely they do. And from Big Footy, Dudas Maximus, how is Chris Scott with the media? How does the interaction compare to coaches past and present? Well, we've only really dealt with Chris Scott. We didn't have a huge amount to do with Mark Thompson, so it's hard to compare.
Not really. Bomber was a strange individual.
Yeah.
He was odd, but Bomber was one of those characters because I was doing the rooms at that point, so I was down in the rooms after the games, and
in the old Brownlow stand,
and there all the posters are up on the wall there, including a poster featuring Len Gandini. So he would be one of those people that he would talk to you about once in every five times he walked past you.
Yep,
there'd be times he'd just completely fresh air you, and other times he would talk to you. It was odd, very odd. Whereas I don't know anything about Chris Scott, but I know he has a level of... We've spoken about that small snapshot we saw up in the Brisbane game afterwards. Just he has a level of... He's a very, very good football coach, but he has a level of arrogance to his personality that makes him quite unlikable.
Howler 41, once again, it's a battle between good and evil, the blue and white against the brown and gold. Hawks have burst out of the blocks, so Cats need to start well, keeping a leash on old Duke Newcomb. That was a good game. We'll go a long way to the Cats winning. Unsure if they'll go with Mullen or Merrick, but the handcuffs need to be added. Sexy Land style. Once again, a huge job for Blitz with Neil providing the chop out. That's if Stanley doesn't play. Meek, a very good ruck, yes, but perhaps a bit lumbering at times. Hopefully the Cats can make him run. That would be something where the Cats might weigh up going with still with Blitzarves.
In terms of running him around.
Yeah, well, similar to Fort.
We heard Reg Toohey make a point. We were talking about it in the lead-up to the Brisbane game about Stanley being out, and I said, well, maybe against someone like Fort, it's not the end of the world. He actually might be able to work him over, which he did. But Reg said that, you know, what works or what has worked well for the Cats is that Stanley, albeit he's not the world's most physical ruckman, but he can wear somebody down and then Blitzarves goes in maybe a bit fresher and can absolutely run them off their feet.
And jump over them.
Yeah. So that's where Blitzarves might be even more influential in that he's playing the second fiddle, but he's getting on to Meek when Meek's just, you know, in terms of his fitness, is starting to struggle, and Blitzarves is able to take it to another level. So that might work for the Cats if that's the way it unfolds.
Once again, a huge job for Blitz. I've just read that out. Meek, very good. Yes, backing Shannon Neal to have a big game and the Cats to win. I'll be over refreshing on the couch, maybe with a late night SBS foreign film.
Oh
no, I'm moving
just
on.
Just finish yourself off, late Kingy.
The ranger. Gents, I doubt you can go into specifics, nor do I want you to, but I get the impression this media attention for Chris Scott and the AFL staffer is a storm in a teacup. Story has changed a few times and each time watered down from the last, almost as if there is an attempt to distract the club before Friday night. Is that your read on this? I don't think so. I think if somebody's been brought to tears, there's legitimately an issue there.
Well, if he's apologised, something's happened.
Yeah.
Something's unfolded. As to the depth of it, we're perhaps a little bit in the dark. But if for the coach to actually apologise, albeit, as I said, took 5 days to do, which I think is odd, but if for him to actually apologise means something has gone on that is untoward. Yeah. And my point is, why are you doing that when you're focused? Your team's just played its best game of the year and you're worried about stuff that is of no influence to your football club and the direction it wants to go. Like, it just gives you a mindset, an indication into his mindset.
Back to the game, the way the Hawks got over the Crows was a surprise, maybe just the margin, but I don't think that was entirely of their own doing. Crows were below their best in parts. Would you be tempted to throw O'Connor or Mullivan on Ginnivan or Watson to frustrate them into doing silly things and giving away frees? I think they have the potential to get frustrated worse than Rayner. Seems a waste to tag them, but it would be good to see Hawthorn give away free kicks for a change.
Yeah, look, as I said, I don't think they've got the leg speed to go with Watson. Ginnivan is a bit more of he doesn't have sort of pure speed. He's more crafty. I think somebody like a Zach Guthrie might be a good matchup for a Ginnivan because he might be able to get off him a little bit. Watson's the one that worries me.
Catters 07. This is just on our AFLW Cat Attack podcast with Michaela Bowen. First off, loving that. Sound like you've known each other for years. Girls are starting to perform better after a sluggish start. Hopefully can roll through the rest of the year. So that edition to be recorded tomorrow, Thursday. To Friday night, terrified but confident. Just think we need to start well, but get Hawthorn on the back foot. Make them chase the game. I think clearly Newcombe needs to be tagged. He is elite and been huge the last couple of weeks. Truly think the Cats will want to make it an inside game. I think the small forward line of Hawthorns will challenge Geelong. The Cat half forwards really need to work hard to stop the run and carry from the halfback of the Hawks, which we've touched on. Going to be an amazing game to be at, hopefully. I hope the pain of 12 months ago is used as a motivation. Go Cats and good calling. Last thought, the past couple of weeks with Smith and Scott has felt like the GFC have just swept things under the rug. It's been a little disappointing that they didn't come out and say, shit, we were wrong, and we don't want to be represented like that we apologise and hope we can move on. It's like there was no response.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
I think it needed Steve Hocking to come out and...
Yeah, I think the response from the Cats has been meek, to say the least. I mean, they'd be just wanting it to go away, given this is not the distraction they want when they're in the box seat to win a premiership. I mean, this is not a round three type distraction. This is you're two steps away from holding the premiership cup aloft again, and you've played your way into this position. Now, you don't want it derailed by things that have just... inconsequential to the cause. And the fact that it's if it came from an 18-year-old kid who did the wrong thing, you'd say, well, geez, that's not ideal, but it's not completely unexpected. This is coming from people at the top, one of your best players and your coach. It's just mind-boggling.
Can't wait for Friday.
Yeah, it's going to be huge, Kingy.
So 5:45, Andrew Mackey's, I believe, going to join us from a Cats perspective, so he might be able to
shed some light. He'll talk. He's mastered the art of politician speak, old Mackie. He talks, and then at the end of it, you think, actually said anything there of note.
Hopefully a one-on-one with Ollie Dempsey, that I'm catching up with him, fingers crossed, tomorrow for a five-minute chat.
You ask him why he looks like Tom York?
From Radiohead.
Yes.
He's a dead ringer. He does. Now that you've said that.
He's a dead ringer.
What if he turns around who Tom York is?
He wouldn't have a clue, King.
No.
Like when we asked Jake Collier-Jasny, he'd never heard of Eddie Vedder or Pearl Jam. Well,
I still can't get my head. That's right. In the AFLW podcast with Bowie, no idea about Back to the Future. Never heard of it. Never heard of him.
Right.
Yeah, so that was interesting. And Andrew Dillon to kick us off at 5:45 after Tim and Jess. So, FM88 at the MCG for those who want to listen in the home of football.
Looking forward to it, King. It's going to be massive. The Cats, which is if they went out to the Hawks, you'd be limping home.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years.